Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the Renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Olin Ezra Show. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Olin Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You're listening to another absolutely thrilling and engaging installment of the Olin Ezra Show.
And engorging.
Engorging.
What's up, emo kids?
Engorgement for your ear hole. Welcome. Anyway, wow, we got a good show coming your way today. We got Matt Austin coming in the studio in a little bit. He's going to be doing his thing. I guess he's doing an April in the D contest. And speaking of that, so's B-Dab.
Woo!
Yes.
What's up with that?
This is B-Dab featuring the lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe. What they're doing this year is, last year was 3 finalists. This year is 5 finalists. Voting begins Thursday, February 18th, and ends on Wednesday, February 24th.
So pretty much as soon as this episode comes out, go in and log on.
Pretty much.
Vote.
Yeah, dude, you'll have till like Wednesday, that February 24th. But
you got to register. Just takes a second. But then once you register, once you set up your profile, you can vote as many times as you want.
Quick little registration. Pick you some password. Boom. FoxSportsDetroit.com. Go there to register and scope it out.
So basically what we need you to do is wake up super early and then get food, get water, whatever you need. Get like a garbage bin to go to the bathroom in, and then just park your ass in front of the computer all day long.
Subconscious psychological tricks over there. I like that.
Just coughing.
Or else that's B-Dab backwards.
Beautiful.
that's just like made my brain hurt. Wow.
That's
good times, man. But yeah, I saw that Chaos Theory also posted something. Harold Harula posted on his Facebook that Chaos Theory was in it, and their video is pretty good too, man.
Yeah, so Chaos Theory's just good, dude. I like the music's cool.
There's a lot of bands that have one out there. Panic Trigger has one.
The B-Dab video is very well done all over.
Extremely.
He did a great job.
John Akira.
Big Baby
Mr.
P.
Mr. John Akira.
So many people have asked me who did your video, just because he just did such a good job.
He's excellent, John Akira.
Yeah, you know what?
He's in it.
Yeah.
That reflection
that's
shot.
I was going to say.
I love the reflection shot.
Yeah, I was going to say. That shit came out way better than I could have imagined it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he saw. See, that's what I mean. He sees things that we just
Yeah, he saw like this crusty old
staring
at it for like 5 minutes.
By the way, did you notice the shot that didn't make it in? Apparently, he said it looked very weird having to use Olin with his face painted up getting punched out. So
yeah,
we decided to just keep that out of there.
Yeah, well,
I feel so bad that you had to do that for no fucking reason.
I took it for
reason.
The team, man. It's what I do. I took it for the team.
He's like, you were seriously upset, though. He's like, so that's right, I fucking painted my face for nothing. I was like, no, dude, it was so cool.
No, man, it wasn't like that at all. It's just I would have rather not painted my face because it was ass cold with the face paint on. I was shivering, man.
Donnie just disappeared.
Holy shit, you look like the world's ugliest transvestite when I show up.
You would have rather not been picking paint chips out of your beard for 6 days.
Right.
Your makeup assistant was one Mr. Don Knotts.
That was really gay. You're like, Donnie, go help me. You're like, I didn't really mean you had to. You guys are like in the corner.
He just stumbles off. Yeah.
So anyway, without any further bullshit, Steve, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week.
Belhaven Scottish Ale. Check it out. This is sticking with my theme of pint cans. As of late, we had the Boddington's Ale was one in a can, the pint can. This one here is by Belhaven, which is smooth and creamy. They have you directions on the back here. It says chill for 3 hours. Carefully open can. Wait for the head to rise.
That's what she said.
I know. Why?
No, because I'm literally sitting here like, holy shit, that sounds like my last date.
It's
beers are getting, you know, chill for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right, did it, weren't you playing slowly with Boddington's rich creamy head a couple weeks ago?
Wait for the head to rise.
I had rich creamy head in my mouth. Yeah, what? Are you of the beer, what are you talking about?
This Pat is... had cock and chlorine in his mouth.
Hey, that was a joke, goddamn it. Okay.
Chlorine? Really?
It was in a pool. Okay. What can I say?
Hmm.
We went showgirls.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So this, the deal with the Belhaven Brewery is, it is in Scotland. This is an imported brew. It's the oldest surviving independent brewery, by the way, dating back to 1719. Belhaven Scottish Ale is fully rounded. I'll tell you that they're exactly correct in their description. Fully rounded ale, complex mix of malt and hop, producing Belhaven's easily recognizable malty and nutty flavor.
Is it a darker beer, yes, like a Newcastle kind of looking beer?
You know what's weird? This is almost like a Newcastle slash Guinness like feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to pour them in a glass, although it don't matter. I don't listen to what they tell me to do. I just crack cans. And
they
put
go
them
to all that trouble to provide you with such detailed instructions, and you just piss all over them.
You're dealing with 5.2 ABV, so that's pretty good. It's not bad. Most Bud Lights, Budweisers are 4.8, sometimes 4.9, right. But dealing 5.2 is pretty good for this. Belhaven Scottish Ale is a 4-pack for about $12.
Yikes.
And you're not going to really find these.
Man.
You're not going to find these all over the place. You really aren't. It's going to be a specialty store or one of those, you know, they have like four large coolers full of imports from all around the world. You know,
I've never heard of that before.
This stuff here?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, as a Scottish ale too, it's very smooth.
It's an ugly
bite
can.
To it. Yeah, it's a little weird.
It'll turn your hair red.
Picture of the village.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you a red beard.
What is this? I hear of a contest.
There's some contest going on.
A contest?
Contest, you say?
Presenting InkAddict.com's contest.
Contest
2010. This is your shot at designing a t-shirt for Ink Addict's upcoming spring line. If your design is chosen, you'll win a
$500 cash prize.
Plus $100 in tattoos at Lance Keller Studios. Your t-shirt will be sold on InkAddict.com as well as local Detroit shops. And you'll get an exclusive interview on the Olin Ezra Internet Radio Show. This is your chance at getting your artwork seen by industry professionals as well as potential buyers. So don't delay. Get your submission in by March 25th. InkAddict.com's contest.
Contest 2010.
Visit InkAddict.com for more information.
Wow.
So there's a contest, huh?
Yeah, you got to check it out. Go to InkAddict.com for more info. It's easy, man. We already got like 5-10 submissions in already, man. All it has to be is a picture incorporating the Ink Addict logo somehow, and they'll upload it to the contest. Voting starts, I think it's the end of this month, but you can submit all the way up through March 26th.
Full contest rules available.
All that's on InkAddict.com.
And fuck the cash prize. You get to come and do an interview with us.
You get a free freaking tattoo, too.
Whoa.
Lance Keller.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid prize.
That is a solid prize. MC Noyad, by the way, is extremely excited to kick off contest 2010.
So if you take two things away from this episode, enter contest 2010 and vote for B-Dab featuring Danny Catastrophe.
If you take two things
all day, all night.
What? Do you hear something?
I don't know, man. It's like this weird.
I don't hear anything.
Some feedback or something.
I don't know what's going on with that. Hey, if you're looking for the best in Midwest hip hop, check out 2raw4fm.com with Origix and DC Monday nights from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. on 89.3 FM WHFR. You can also listen online at whfr.fm or at 2raw4fm.com. Also, make sure to check out these two guys March 5th at the Rack and Roll. They're going to be throwing it down with Motown Rage, Articulate, Waste. Dude, I heard... Sean Origix has never ever called me excited about a CD, and this new Waste Management CD is amazing from what I hear. So
pretty sure.
You know what song I can't stop listening to? Welcome to the Slaughterhouse.
Welcome to the Slaughterhouse.
I fucking love that song, dude.
What's up with Ray in the background on that track?
I know, it makes that song.
It's bad. Great, man. Yeah. It's awesome. I noticed that right away. Yep.
So that's going to be a good show live, especially with Steve, the sound guy, running sound, man. He always blows
Steve
up the spot. All right. So, Steve, man, what do you got today?
Oh, boy. You want to get into this now, huh? Got to change gears.
It's time to do a 180.
Like a mofoker.
Steve's about to blow out your ear hole with something.
Yep. What I want to get into just real quick, I'm going to try and condense this because I wrote a lot down. But I'm going to begin with a George Orwell quote. We'll do that first. Full disclosure, by the way, first of all, George Orwell's real name is Eric Arthur Blair. Active up until like the 50s, but in 1949 he wrote 1984,
which is a
magnificent novel.
You know,
it's prediction. It's almost like
it's fucking very strange.
Really strange how things ended up working out and how accurate that quote work of fiction is.
So with the thought police in full effect and more. Also, before I read this quote, just quick shout out to the Supreme Court, who has entirely taken the power out of the hands of the people to do anything for democratic or good for this country, because now they've removed the regulations on how much corporations and companies can spend on political campaigns. So
that message was just brought to you by Del Taco.
Yeah.
Wait, let me
yeah.
Wrap yep, yourself yep, yep. up in a fish taco today.
Yep.
Repeat what you just said for me.
The Supreme Court has eased the regulations. The vote was unanimous to allow companies and corporations, not only that, globally, to influence the outcome of elections.
As of when? Just recently?
They did this over two months ago, and you just don't hear about it. But it's almost like, you know, you got like the populace of people. Let's just say the populace of people in America. That
Built
the wealth of this nation. Now, not only have they taken their taxes away via these bailouts, they've taken their rights away as voters to work, do anything democratic or unanimous by the people. Because how are the people in these small, even Campaign for Liberty?
Right.
That shit's done. That's over. Hey, audit the Fed, that's over. Everything's over.
Real quick, that message was brought to us by Arizona Green Tea. Get yourself a can of refreshment today.
Yep.
All right.
And vote for our candidate, yep.
That's right. I can't wait till the 2012 elections, because not only is Obama going to be running, but it's going to be Obama presented by Pepsi.
Pepsi Cola. Ride the wave.
Really?
Ride the wave.
This is what we've come to as a society.
So Orwell himself was a self-proclaimed Democrat socialist. So I just want to throw that out there. The quote I'm going to read, sure, is something a little more out there overall that people will grasp. And if you're aware of anything that's going on with like what's considered a technocratic society, it's going to make sense to you. But this was from 1984. He says, "We shall abolish the orgasm." Mm-hmm. Our neurologists are at work on it now. There will be no loyalty except loyalty for the party. There will be no love except for love of Big Brother. There will be no laughter except for the laugh of triumph over our defeated enemies. There will be no art, no literature, no science. When we are omnipotent, there will be no need for science. There will be no distinction between beauty and ugly. There will be no curiosity, no enjoyment of the process of life. All competing pleasures will be destroyed. But always, and do not forget this, Winston, the protagonist character,
right.
Always there will be the intoxication of power, constantly increasing and growing, subtly. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the near future, hello, 2010, imagine a boot stamping on the human face forever.
I stopped listening after "We shall abolish the orgasm."
That's why I led with that.
Daddy is not happy.
but that's the thought police,
Danny,
the pleasure police.
Don't worry, baby.
This is the last time I'm going to do it. That quote brought to us by our good friends at Samsung. Check them out, Samsung.tv. All right, Steve, go ahead.
So now I finally waited for like all the herds to thin and went and checked out Avatar last weekend.
Oh, boy. How was that?
I was watching it from, like, two different perspectives at the same time.
See 3D?
Yeah. One was the cinematography for the visuals, and two, there's so many underlying messages. There's a few underlying themes going on in there, but, like empathizing with these blue creatures on the planet Pandora and hating your own humanity for being so corrupt. That's a very powerful theme in that. But that's the trick of these fucking power-hungry elite. They would have you believe that you are just as broken as they are. Oh, our humanity's corrupt. But, like, I personally don't see that in anyone that I know, in anyone that I love, people that we work with in our network. I don't see their corrupt humanity. I see people looking forward and trying to better themselves. And you got to be aware of your own untapped potential, okay? For theirs is a culture of death. And, like, I, for one, refuse to take place in that, like, vision unfolding in the world right now. You aspiring politicians, you 13th degreeers, even James Cameron, they wish they had my gifts and my friends' gifts of staying so goddamn fresh in such a stale fucking culture. I want to throw that out there.
Yeah!
Right. What I will say to you and to everyone listening is I personally may not be moving on into, like, the coming technocracy. At some point, I'm going to refuse the upgrade. You know, but know this. Globalists, Big Brother, etc., whatever, are pedophiles. Okay? If they promise you a toy or candy, that means they're trying to fuck you. So if you see them in your neighborhood, break their cameras with rocks, never get into their van, and even if they offer you toys and candy, stay away from the van.
The popular theme with those jack-offs is hey, what do you care if everybody else is fucked as long as your family's well taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
Those greasy, manipulative bastards.
Overdeveloped reptilian brains.
By the way, make sure to check out the Olin Ezra Show, exclusively available on iTunes.
Speaking of reptilian brains, are you familiar with David?
His name
is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know that movie Religulous?
Yeah.
It's Bill Maher?
Uh-huh.
They actually cut a scene of David Icke's interview. And it was just because it got so weird. He started trying to tell Bill Maher his, like, 5% visual light theory, which is, you know, we all only see things due to light frequency, right? You know, no light is just pure dark. But in the pure light and through, like, the prism of colors, we see things. It dictates, like, a certain visual reality. What he said is, what Icke says is, outside of that frequency, there are beings, there are influences, there is negativity, there are things that, like, influence us all the time. So, and he says that there are reptilian-like. That's what Icke says.
He believes that isn't it like that the world is run by, it's, and George Bush is one of them, according to him.
Yeah. Very smart.
Shape-shifting
reptilians. Yes.
Fox News.
But I did hear that now, like, there's a rumor that he...
This all goes back to the blood orgies.
That he doesn't even really believe that. It was just done, like, for publicity.
No. Well, in fact, Bill Maher was a little stunned by that revelation. He just, and this is the cut that didn't make the movie, but you can search it on YouTube. David Icke, Bill Maher interview. Maher's like, so you think it's reptilian shapeshifters, like, influencing, and, like, it gets very, like, awkward and creepy there. And I think that's why he cut it, because it was just so out there. But yeah,
is part of it in the movie, or they cut it completely?
I don't think Icke is in that at all. There was this whole scene where he was supposed to, like, interview with them, and he's not in it at all. So it's a weird thing to have attempted that didn't make the movie Religulous, you know?
Religulous.
Yeah.
Nothing's better to satisfy your hunger through Religulous than Snickers.
Snickers! Really satisfies.
Pat, I heard that Snickers satisfies, buddy.
Like, sexually?
That's why they call me Mr. Snickers.
I've been calling you Mr. Snickers for a while, and I didn't know why. Now it all adds up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm kind of creeped out now, so.
I'm like a short, fat Billy Dee Williams.
Is Mr. Snickers going to be on the show today? I say that all the time.
Every time.
Most of it. Colt 45.
No, but you know what? It's fucked up. I don't want to stray too far, but while we're talking about movies, it's crazy. I went to sleep last night watching it. And when I woke up this morning and turned the TV back on, it was on again. The Truman Show.
From
1999
or some shit?
I never saw it either.
98. Yep.
See, yeah, no, this movie is so fucking hilarious. Just like you said about, you know, 1984 from going back and looking at it again.
Isn't it like reality show-esque or something? where they follow this guy around or something? No, whatever.
How is the amount of cameras involved in filming that guy's life? That's what's interesting.
Which is crazy because you look around now and I think we touched on this plenty of times. Everywhere you go, there is a camera now.
That's our poke back campaign.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Poke back.
Poke back.
Give them the finger.
Flip the cameras off, man.
While you're eating a Snickers. Just make sure I don't want to get assassinated for not plugging Snickers. So, goddammit, go eat your goddamn nut-infested bar of high fructose corn syrup and nougat.
Satisfies the hunger inside. But no, the movie was, the basis of the movie is that they... fucking television producers went and like adopted a baby while he was a baby and just put him in like this artificial environment where everything around him was fake.
That's evil.
His parents, actors.
That's fucking
his
evil.
Friends, actors. Is everyone, you know, like everyone that he doesn't know is a fucking extra. He buys his, he buys his newspaper from the same guy every morning. The guy on his radio on his ride to work is literally talking to him, and it's just a fake ass environment that they put him in the middle of to construct the most realistic reality television show ever, and it's crazy because it's like he doesn't know that his whole world is fake, but. Everything around him is, you know what I'm saying?
That's the, do you know, like, most Greek mythology is actually allegories that represent, like, human nature.
Right.
Like, certain aspects of humanity.
Right.
One of which is Greek mythology talks about the Argus. And the Argus is the beast with a billion eyes, and they're on everybody at everything at all the time. So, I mean, you know, the Romans were aware of that. Washington's well aware of that, obviously, by their obelisks at fucking Washington, D.C. What do you think that means?
It means it's time for the Matt Austin Band. This one's called Fly On.
You're better off on your own. Well, I've said this all alone. Goodbye. You know you're better off alone. So long. So long. Fly on. Fly on back home. Let you go.
Let you go.
Yeah. All right. Matt Austin Band. What's up, guys?
Hey, man. How's it going?
So you guys, as Matt Austin Band, are in the contest to open for Bon Jovi?
Actually, yeah. Yeah. I wasn't going to join it just because, I mean, we won the first one. That's how we opened for Def Leppard at DTE, so...
Nice.
Aren't you going to be so glad when that shit's done? I know when we did like the 8NX thing, like people hated me by the end just because you've got to pound people's asses all day long.
Make sure to vote. Hey, by the way, don't forget to vote. Hey, if you could just come to our website and vote 800 more times, we'd really appreciate it.
But
you got to do it. You know, it's like a double-edged sword. Yeah.
It's a hustle, but you guys seem to be all over the place, man. You're in the April and the D thing too. I mean, covering your bases, huh?
Yeah, you know, just trying to do everything, basically be a... You got to be like in politics. You got to be a promotional slut, is what they say.
Yeah.
So just try and do everything we can, you know.
If nothing else, it's great publicity, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You have nothing to lose.
When do they find out about the Bon Jovi contest?
I think you vote till the 18th, and they got it really weird this time. You can vote like every hour per email. So like think of spam. Like I'm texting people every hour. Did you vote this hour?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't even do once a day because that's kind of bad. But
one of the last shows we did, I sent out, you know, the generic spam I sent out to everybody. I think I got 3 responses back. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like their seething hatred came out for me in their spam message.
Yeah, but I don't know what's worse, like a fuck you response or like a no response from somebody.
I look at it this way. At least they took the time and energy to reply and go, fuck you.
Right.
So you communicated with them in some way or another.
Yeah. I like that better.
Right on, man. So what's up with Detroit Throwdown?
You mean like why was it written?
Well, no, I'm reading here. You got 50,000 plays on MySpace with the song. They gave you some play in Colorado, Germany, Spain.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a song that caught on. I mean, I've done all my time working my ass off in this town. I really haven't done much outside of this town or regionally. So we put it on MySpace and it just caught on. People put it on their page like crazy. And when people put it on their page and they're playing it,
right?
It just you get a lot of plays, you know.
You guys ever get out of town at all? Even like anywhere like Midwest, Chicago or Columbus to play anywhere?
We haven't yet. Our plan is right now is to finish the album. That's our number one priority right now is to finish a full length. We have an EP right now, but we want to have a full length. And as soon as that's done, we plan on touring regionally: Lansing, Chicago, Ohio, Flint, Grand Rapids.
Where are you guys tracking this album at?
We've been doing it at SLR Studios. It's in Windsor. His name's Marty. He's great. He produces Richie Nicks.
Yeah, I was about to say. It's a couple people have been through that. I think Mike
Ashes
Lord's work there too.
Mike Lord's do Ashes of Soma, Richie Nicks. I mean, he's phenomenal. So,
nice.
And he actually didn't do Detroit Throwdown. We actually tracked that at Rust Belt in Royal Oak with Al Sutton. If you know who he is, he actually works with Kid Rock.
Yeah. No shit. You know what's weird? I know his brother.
Yeah.
He's got a brother named Andy. He's kind of a wild dude.
Yeah.
No shit.
We actually did a few tunes off the EP with him, and then he got busy with Kid Rock's new album, and then we went to Marty in Canada, and we're going to finish the album with Marty in Canada. And he actually did Drama Queen and Fly On are the ones that he's done.
What, you guys got any shows coming up?
You know, we don't have any shows booked right now. We're just in the studio recording, and we're promoting that contest for Bon Jovi. Our last show was at the Rack and Roll Down River, and that went well, so I'm thinking the next one booked is going to be like... there again, so they really been asking us to come back. I promised them once a month because that's my hometown, it's Downriver. So
I like that place.
Yeah,
that's a great place.
I like the Rack and Roll, dude.
Yeah,
no one has anything bad to say about that place.
No. So actually, Tiny's been bugging me to book another date, but I don't want to get off this track of getting this album done.
Right.
You know, so there's always like sidetracks that throw you off your schedule, what you want to do, and our priority is getting that thing done. And once we got the product done and the album done, I'm going to blow out the shows like crazy, like every week in different areas, Saginaw, everywhere.
Right on. January 5th, you guys were at the Rack and Roll, I think, or
was
January
it?
6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing for one of our shows. Man, you guys ended up playing to like 2:20 or something
was
like that.
Was it that late? Yeah, it was great, man.
It was. Long set.
I couldn't talk the next day, but...
it was good,
show.
Man. You guys played for a long time, man, and the people that came out to see you really appreciated that, so...
That was the infamous
The cage fighter.
Magnano and Cody wrestling match, yeah.
Was there vomiting involved with that? What was Cody?
No.
Someone was saying something about projectile vomiting.
Bass player for Christina Crispin, Cody. Yeah, he was telling us a story at the Hayloft last night about his... Yeah. No, that's a separate story.
Okay.
He apparently, Cody will mind if I tell this story, had a projectile vomiting incident where he just, like, from feet away, projectile vomited into a garbage can, didn't spill a drop.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's talent,
man. That's impressive.
That's like raw, unearthed talent.
But, no, that's otherwise your gig, our last gig at that Rack and Roll. Yeah, I mean, there's an open fucking box wrestling ring sitting there. What do you think is going to happen once people start drinking at some point? So Cody's in a ring doing like a hacksaw Jim Duggan stomping around the ring. And just I flipped out. Flew through the ropes, groped him up, just turned into like a match. And then it got broken up just as I was bringing the little stool, bar stool down.
You didn't like a Steve the Sound Guy shine up.
I was just bringing it down. I raised the stool and like flashlights hit us in the face. I'm like, yeah. Sorry.
Was it Steve that was freaking out?
Yeah, you can't make Steve the Sound Guy angry.
I can't see him getting mad. He wasn't angry.
For a little while.
I think the blow up PMS blow up doll.
Speaking of potty mouth sissies, they have a new midget blow up doll.
I heard about that. He put it on a status. He was ecstatic when he came in the mail.
Yeah,
but it's not even so much I was thinking like a midget, and it's weird.
Is it like
a really tiny head?
That sounds a little creepy.
It was very creepy.
Oh, that's
funny. Very creepy.
So it's not like an actual midget. It's just like a shrank. Down.
Pretty much.
So it's like a child's blow.
No, don't say that.
Ooh, that's rough, man.
It's a little too close to a child blow up doll.
Right? What about the UPS guy that delivered it? It wasn't even in a box, it was just shrink wrapped.
apparently, he said that he found it on the first search he did on the internet. When we told him to find one on the internet, that's what he did, and he found the perfect miniature blow up doll. So, where can we find you guys on the internet?
Just our MySpace or Facebook. MattAustinBand.com takes you right to the MySpace, and then there's a link to the Facebook. There's a Matt Austin Band Facebook, and then my own Facebook is Matt Austin. Just search for that and look us up. You can hear us on any of that. You can do a YouTube search and see some live videos.
You guys have any of your songs on iTunes or?
Yep, everything's on iTunes, available for purchase. We have some ringtones available, everything like that.
Right on,
can
guys.
I get the Filthy Dance remix as a ringtone?
I think I can make that happen.
Ooh. Yes. Who are some of you guys' favorite local bands?
The Pills.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer.
What about
B-Dab?
You know what? Yeah, this is
what about
for
Banjo-O?
Banjo-O.
Banjo-O is...
It's just him with a banjo.
I can't even play
the theme song to Deliverance. Yeah,
don't encourage
it. He's horrible. He can't even play the banjo. He's horrible.
What about, though, like as early on as you can recall being influenced by music, like what is it that kind of you recall wanting you to move in a direction of doing music for work?
When I was 10 years old, I heard Steve Ray Vaughan, and I wanted a guitar, and I got a guitar for Christmas that Christmas. And I grew up playing like blues rock and liking Stevie Ray, Jimi Hendrix, ZZ Top, Eric Clapton, Buddy Guy. All that shit. That's what I grew up on, you know.
Any other musicians in your family?
My dad's a guitar player.
Ooh,
and
nice.
He taught me the basics, and then I went from there. And for the longest time, I was just a guitar player. I really wasn't a singer. I always just play guitar. And then as I got older, I got into more modern stuff. But now it's like, I mean, in the years that I've been into music, I've gone from blues to modern rock to heavy rock. I like hip-hop. I like R&B. I mean, I like everything, you know, so... Now I just want to make good music. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's heavy or if it's like the techno stuff or whatever. I just want to make good music.
So is there like a destination or goal that you'd like to accomplish? I mean, ultimately, like with your music and what you write?
World domination.
Shit, yeah. Not really, man. I mean, I'm so open to anything. Like, I like rock rap. I like heavy rock. I like blues rock. Unfortunately, blues rock does not sell anymore, so...
Unfortunately,
you know,
yeah, that and jazz.
Yeah, it just doesn't sell anymore. That's where my roots are. So, like, you know, for now, I just want to make good music that'll sell and appeal to the younger crowd, that'll make money and make me be able to do this for a living. Mm. And then eventually, if I get to the point when I'm older and get beyond albums, I can go back and do some, you know, blues albums and stuff at that point. But
You know? Are you pretty much the main writer of them?
Yeah. Yeah, I get help from the guys, but I mean, I'm pretty much the main writer.
And there's four or five guys in your band?
There's four.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're actually, we've actually thought, because I play lead guitar as well, you know, and I'm a front man, and we're actually in the talks of getting a, because our bass player is a phenomenal lead guitar player. He's like, probably better than me on lead guitar, but he plays bass for us.
Switch in another bass player and trade him up
make,
the guitar.
Make me just a front man. Because I would like to just sometimes just put the guitar down and just...
Fuck yeah, if you have to deal with all the extra shit, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I play guitar. I would play guitar still on, like, you know, some of the songs on our set so I can... Because fans appreciate my guitar playing. Some of them are like, oh, I like you playing guitar. I don't want you to put the guitar down. But then, like, we went and saw a band this last week with Shinedown, Skillet, and Puddle of Mud. We're the first band, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're called Skillet.
Mm-hmm, I've heard of them.
They got that tune Monsters going on right now. It's called Monster. They were the first band, and they were phenomenal, like amazing.
Nailed it.
And then we got their CD, and like if I'd have heard their CD first, I probably wouldn't have liked them, because their CD's like a 6, and their live show's like a 12. And that's rare, man.
No, that's dope to have a better live performance.
Way better live. It was just much more slamming, you know, than the CD. But since I saw them live and liked them, I liked their CD. But if I wouldn't have seen them live, their CD's lacking. They actually showed me more reason to, like, put down my guitar sometimes, because there's actually four people in the band. If you see their photos, it's just four people. But they have a bass player that tours with them. And normally the singer would play bass and sing. But the label told them, the front man should set down the bass. We'll get a bass player to tour with you and just be a front man. And he played bass on like 3 of the songs out of like 10. And if you'd have seen it like from a visual perspective, you'd have wished he'd have never picked the bass up, because visually as a live performance, it was just a better band with him just having the mic. And,
but that's also in like the bigger business of music. Are you, as far as you're aware of, willing to be dictated to? I mean, you will get a record deal. We love Matt Austin, but your whole band has to go. Are you prepared for stuff like that?
I mean,
that's a tough question. Yeah.
That's a hard. That's like the tough.
That's, wow. That's music business.
But that's true.
Not a tough question.
The music industry is the toughest business.
Yeah, I was about to say, and again, Ian is over in the corner like,
right. There's like a look of panic that came over both of you.
But Christina Chris is aware of that. It's something she deals with too, and she has said, should they want her and fucking Cody and Desi get blown out, I mean, is that a direction or something you're prepared to kind of have to make a tough decision, you know?
Well, look at Daughtry. I mean, you guys know Daughtry, right?
American Idol winner?
Yeah, I mean, he had his band back home while he was in American Idol. And when he made it and got signed, he tried to take his original band with him, and the label wouldn't let him, and they got him a band.
What if it's the opposite? We like...
Right, right. The Matt Austin band, let's keep the band, but Matt Austin's got to go.
I love the band, but Matt Austin, man. I mean...
Now, that's
good to turn it around, Ian, because I'd actually be mad at you guys for not taking it. And you guys should
right,
do
you would say,
same.
Why didn't you take it?
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
We'll hook up later.
Yeah, dude. Dude, you ain't getting any from me.
Yeah, and that's the shady business of music.
Yeah.
It gives me douche bumps. Yeah. but it happens.
Well,
it
thank you guys, the Matt Austin Band. Make sure to check them out, the mab.us. We got one more segment to do. You guys want to hang out, do the segment real quick?
For sure.
All right. So, Danny, you've got a douchebag this week.
It's the douchebag, it's Danny's dirty douchebag of the week.
Douchebag.
I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's been a lot of, like, more than usual instances of road rage going on.
Oh, my God.
Someone just was shot and killed in Clinton Township. And then this douchebag, her name is Lorraine Jones Daniels.
It's a female douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
It's a douchebagette.
If you can call her a female, because I saw the mugshot, and she is one of the ugliest women that I've ever seen.
Douchette.
On January 27th, there was a mother and a 14-year-old son. They were leaving Oakwood Hospital in Dearborn, and they saw this woman rear-end a vehicle in the parking lot and then speed away in her Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Yeah. Hyundai.
So anyway, so they saw this chick rear-end a vehicle, so then they were they were following her because they wanted her to file a police report. So they're chasing her. So they go on this chase where this lady is running red lights. She's speeding over curbs. The chase gets on the expressway. Finally, they get her to pull over.
So this is a vigilante chase?
Did you see this?
Yes.
Did you see this? Were you, like, following it?
No. And thank God I wasn't, because I probably would have got my ass beat, because what happened was they finally got her to pull over, and the lady that had the 14-year-old kid in the car was yelling at this woman to file a police report. That's when things got ugly, because
this is some Jerry Springer type
shit. Dude, it actually is really sad. She pulled out a fucking club with, like, a metal strap on it, and it started
the vigilante, or
no,
the hit
no,
and run.
The mom,
the hit and
the
run
mom
woman.
Is the vigilante. The hit and run woman gets out of her car and she pulls out a fucking club and goes up to the car and starts bashing in the kid's face, basically.
Wow.
So
attacked, right? You know what? I'm not gonna lie. I was gonna say, if a motherfucker followed me in a chase, like, I'd be like, mind your own business and
right.
beat their fucking face in.
Right.
I was gonna say that, and turns out.
She really did. And now this poor kid can't, he has lost the vision in his eye, and he can't stand up without, like, falling down. He's got, like,
Jesus.
Mad problems now.
Wow.
So,
wow.
She's going to jail for a long time, but.
That's so funny that, you hit on this, because just, like, 2 days ago, I put on my Facebook status that, like, the world is going into mass chaos. What the fuck's wrong with people?
Dude, I can't.
And the reason I did that is because of dealing with people on the road. People are fucking, I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Like, how, I mean, we've all had road rage, whatever. Like, you flick someone off, you know, and you get on with your day. Like, you don't
get
a gun and kill
take
someone.
It personal.
How can you even
out
think,
there taking
like,
shit personal?
Yeah, somebody tried to drag race me in my S10 one time because I wouldn't let him go around me on, like, I was getting off an off-ramp at Ford Road, and there's two right lanes. So I'm in the far left lane, you know, and the left lane turns into the left lane of the road when you're on one of those, you know, turn-ons with two right turns. So I pull into the left lane, but this douchebag flies around from the right side, tries to get in front of me. I was like, no, I don't think so. I was just fucking with him, got in front of him, man. So he started drag racing me down Ford Road, man. It was crazy.
Well, there you go. You kind of touched on that you were fucking with him. I mean, it takes two to tango.
Yeah, dude, rage. But, like, it was first.
Yield to the idiot. Or get dragged in.
He was tailgating me the whole way down 275, man. So,
do you know that your car only goes 45 miles an hour?
Yeah, my S10 isn't something to drag.
It shakes violently at 43.
So, Matt Austin, man, thank you guys.
Yeah,
thanks
so
guys.
Much for making some time on Valentine's Day, coming out, stuff like that. So, for myself, I'm going to unadd Heather Rackley as a Facebook friend when I get home.
Oh, my God.
Big baby P.
I know. Came from left field, didn't it?
Yeah.
El Magnano.
Under the spreading chestnut tree, I sold you and you sold me.
The lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
Creamy, chunky, chocolatey Oreo butt blasters.
Wait, butt blasters?
Yeah.
Right. We're going to take you out to Detroit Throwdown by the Matt Austin Band, only on the Ola and Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.